Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Scientists have made a tremendous breakthrough in trying to understand the brain. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 12th, 2013. Thanks for joining us. We're on day two of our science article, The Transparent Brain. You can find it on pages 22 and 23 in your Advanced magazine, and it is a fairly technical article, so be patient and just have your highlighter out and make some notes about some of the words that we do talk about. There's not only scientific terms in here, but there's a lot of good vocabulary and some good idioms and things that you can use in your everyday language, not just in scientific conversations, but there are things in this article that you can use. So I've got two panelists back, my two panelists from yesterday, Alan Lee and Amanda Young-Pierre, and great to have you two in the studio. How you feel?
Pretty good.
To be here. Yeah. Glad to have you here, back for day two. So before we start today, let's get a thought from yesterday from each one of you.
Well, yesterday we talked a lot about this new technique that can make the brain more transparent, and I think it's a real breakthrough in the scientific community because it's providing a lot of information on the brain circuitry. And basically how the brain is wired.
Yeah, okay. And, it's something the brain, I think most people, it's one of those things we probably know the least about. We know so much about so many other things in our body, but, you know, we focus so much on our weight and our calories, how many calories we eat and things like that. But if you really ask people what about their brain, most people would be like at a loss. They don't even know what to say. So it's just not something we, on a daily basis, we really focus on. So.
True.
All right. Amanda, give me something from yesterday.
Well, Bill, I know the brain actually does weigh a lot physically. but for me yesterday, what really stood out was the fact that this new technology, or rather than give scientists a finite supply of brain tissue, it will give them an infinite supply of brain tissue. And I think that's really exciting because we'll learn so much more in the coming years.
Well, it's interesting that the pronunciation on that, those two words, the changes, right?
Right. Yeah, we said infinite and finite, very different on the I sound.
Infinite being unlimited, finite being limited.
Limited, that's correct.
I mentioned there's a lot of good vocabulary and terms in here. There are a couple of idioms that you can use, actually three idioms that you can use in your everyday language would be, for instance, stewing in. We'd say here brains stewing in jars, but we might say somebody maybe stewing in their own feelings or their own depression, right?
Right.
Thoughts.
Yes, we often use that to mean that they just keep thinking about the same sad thoughts over and over again.
Right. You keep dwelling on something. If you keep dwelling on something, you're stewing in that particular subject. Mm-hmm. Next one I highlighted was wreak havoc. And what does wreak havoc mean?
Well, wreak havoc means just to cause chaos. So we often use it, don't wreak havoc on my schedule.
Right.
Don't mess up my schedule.
Right. Mm. The kids came into the room and wreaked havoc, right? It was all neat and tidy. Then they just came in and made a mess.
Right. The weather wreaked havoc on the highway.
Yep. And then akin to is another idiom that we've got there. And what does akin to mean?
Means similar to something or like something.
Yep, okay. So there you can see, although it is a scientific article, there are many useful terms and phrases that you can use all the time. All right, everybody, let's turn to page 23. We will have a reading today broken up into three different sections. Our first reading will be that left column down to the bottom. gaining some clarity. It took 6 years to find a successful technique that used acrylamide, bisacrylamide, and formaldehyde, among other ingredients. They called their method Clarity, short for Clear Lipid Exchange Anatomically Rigid Imaging Immunostaining Compatible Tissue Hydrogel. Their success is apparent in a pair of photographs taken by the researchers. In one of them, an untreated mouse brain sitting in a petri dish atop a printed page partially obscures a block of text. After it was subjected to the Clarity technique, the words of Santiago Ramon y Cajal, the father of neuroscience, became visible. The brain is a world consisting of a number of unexplored continents and great stretches of unknown territory. Okay, yesterday we were talking about the process as far as what the scientists had to do, what they were trying to do. They had to get rid of this fat in the brain that held the brain's structure together. And so what they were doing was they got to clear this up so they can see inside the brain to understand it better. By doing that, then they didn't have to keep using up their finite supply of brain matter. And so it would enable further, deeper research. So that's why we call this section Gaining Some Clarity. Now, first off, gaining some clarity, what do we mean?
It means understanding something more clearly.
Okay, so not only are we seeing more clearly into the brain, but we're actually understanding it better. We're getting clarity. Our thoughts are coming becoming more clear on this. And it took a while to do this, right?
Yeah, it took 6 years to find a successful technique that uses acrylamide, bisacrylamide, and formaldehyde, among other ingredients.
Okay, now these are three scientific chemicals, actually, three chemicals that they're using in here, acrylamide, bisacrylamide, and formaldehyde. And just want to talk about formaldehyde. You're familiar with formaldehyde, aren't you?
Yes. It is a chemical that is used to preserve the human body. Oftentimes, medical students and people that study anatomy will be familiar with formaldehyde because you would have studied a real part of the body, perhaps the whole body, or like we mentioned earlier yesterday, cadavers, and formaldehyde preserves them.
Right. Okay. And now they came up with an acronym, a word here that they called their method, Clarity. And this happens a lot of times. They will take a combination of words to try and create one word that explains what they're doing. And Clarity is short for what?
It is short for Clear Lipid Exchange Anatomically Rigid Imaging Immunostaining.
Compatible tissue hydrogel. So I'm just having fun with Ellen here, making her say that. But that just helps you understand where they came up with this term. It is a combination of all sorts of scientific terms in here, but it helps the scientists understand what is going on. Now, their success is apparent in what?
A pair of photographs taken by the researchers. So they now we're being introduced to some photographs that the researchers took, and now we're going to describe what they look like.
What's apparent mean?
Apparent means evident.
Okay. All right. In one of them, Ellen?
In one of them, an untreated mouse brain sitting in a petri dish atop a printed page partially obscures a block of text.
Petri dish.
A petri dish is used a lot of times in a laboratory where scientists are doing experiments. It's this clear dish where they will take samples of bacteria or even brain and further study it.
Okay, they're trying to isolate the material that they are working with. Now, after it was subjected to the Clarity technique, they would actually pour the chemical on to this brain. And the brain was like whitish gray, and they could not see through it. But then after they put the chemical on there, what happened?
it became visible. And the text that they were putting these brains against was a printed page from the father of neuroscience, Santiago Ramon y Cajal.
Okay, and that's the picture we have up there at the top of page 23. And he's the father of neuroscience. And what is neuroscience?
The study of the brain, neuro, or anything to do with neuro, which is also the nervous system as well.
Okay, we have talked about neuroscience quite a bit here in advance, and it applies to so many things that we're studying in the body. And what is the quote, the words from Santiago Ramon y Cajal?
He says, "The brain is a world consisting of a number of unexplored continents and great stretches of unknown territory."
What does he mean, unexplored continents? What's he talking about, getting on a ship and crossing the ocean?
No, unexplored just means it hasn't been discovered or hasn't really been understood yet. Mm-hmm. And he's just comparing the brain to kind of like unexplored territory. And because we haven't had techniques like this before, mm-hmm. it's been very difficult to really, quote-unquote, explore
the brain. And we had even used the word frontier in our deck. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the unknown territory. And it is. It's amazing. It's a finite thing, the brain, but there's so many mysteries in it. There's just so much to explore. The deeper they dig, the more they find out. Let's have our second reading. Current challenges. Today, researchers tracing the brain's smallest physical structures slice the tissue into sections less than a millimeter thick, then stain each one and track the results from slice to slice. The process is painstaking, and when they're done, the tissue can't be used again for other experiments. Those difficulties and the limited supply of human brain tissue forced researchers to do most of their experiments in mice, which is less than ideal for studying human maladies. Okay, current challenges is this section, and we just learned about some of the process, the clarity process, as far as making the brain transparent. Now we read about the current challenges.
Today, researchers tracing the brain's smallest physical structures slice the tissue into sections less than a millimeter thick, then stain each one and track the results from slice to slice.
Okay, we had talked about earlier the finite supply of brain tissue. And so what that means is they have to take this and they have to be very, very careful. If you want to do some studying on this, you can only get a little bit. So that's what they mean. They got to take this. It's like a piece of paper they got to slice off of this brain because they got a whole bunch of other scientists that want to use some of this brain also. So first they take this thing. They slice it very thinly. Then what do?
They stain each one of them. And staining here means they use a chemical coloring on the tissue sample so that the scientists can see the things within the tissue more clearly.
Right. There are certain colors that they can add to the brain tissue, and it will identify parts of the brain that are suffering from certain ailments. One thing I'm thinking of right now is in sports, particularly in football, the NFL, National Football League in America, brain injuries have become a big, big topic because they're discovering that football players are suffering brain damage during their career. They're dying early. They're suffering Alzheimer's at age 40. They're doing terrible things. They're killing themselves, and they're trying to understand what's going on with these players. And what they have done is they've asked former players to donate their brains before they die, because these guys know they're going to die. You know, they're so ill, they know they're going to die soon. And the players have donated their brains. What they do then is they take it and they slice it, color, and then they can identify things from those colors. For instance, they can identify early onset of dementia, Alzheimer's in 40-year-olds by then adding these stains to the brains, and it helps them understand what is going on, which is the first step in the process of, okay, what do we do? Then. All right, so this process is painstaking, this slicing and staining process. When we say painstaking.
Painstaking just means to say something is very complicated and it takes a lot of time to do.
Okay. And when they're done, the tissue can't be used again for other experiments. That's why we say it was a finite supply. All right. And then we continue by talking about those difficulties.
Those difficulties and the limited supply of human brain tissue forced researchers to do most of their experiments in mice, which is less than ideal for studying human maladies.
Okay. So because of that finite supply of human brains, they were doing so much of this on mice. You can learn some things from it, but not everything, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mice, you know, it's a different organ. Their brain is a different organ to the human brain.
Yeah, so that's what we mean. It's less than ideal for studying human ailments. Mm. So it's not quite a match. All right, everybody, let's have our final reading of this article. A look to the future. Now, scientists have the potential to get more information from that precious resource. Using Clarity, the Stanford team was able to probe the brain without taking it apart, do it at a high resolution, and do it repeatedly. Carl Dieseroth, the Stanford bioengineer who led the team, and his colleagues were eager to take their invention for a test drive. They tried it out on a human brain that had belonged to someone who had autism and that had been preserved for 6 years. What they found surprised them. A deeply buried neuron that looped back on itself, Dieseroth said. That strange bridging is not typical of a normal brain, and it resembles abnormalities associated with autism and Down syndrome. Okay, Bill Quinn here with Amanda Young-Gapir and Ellen Lee. We are on our final section of our science article, The Transparent Brain, on pages 22 and 23 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And we've been talking about some of the struggles that scientists have had in the past as far as doing research on the brain because there is a finite, limited supply of brain tissue that they have to work with. They've had to be very careful with it. And the reason why is they haven't been able to see into the brain. The brain, if you see it, it's just white and gray matter that would be sitting there. And the only way you can examine it is to slice it into these paper-thin pieces and, you know, add some coloring to it and, of course, look under the microscope of it. But now they've come up with Clarity. It's a technique for removing the fat that is in the brain that holds everything together and replace the fat with a clear gel and allowing scientists to see much more inside the brain without cutting it up into a million different pieces. And so now that was the past and the present. Now we take a look at the future.
Now, scientists have the potential to get more information from that precious resource. Using Clarity, the Stanford team was able to probe the brain without taking it apart, and they were able to do it at a high resolution and do it repeatedly.
Okay. Now, when we say probe the brain.
Probe means to search. Actually, probe is one of our words in the vocabulary Procus. It says to search into or examine something.
All right. And then also then to do it at a high resolution.
Right. Resolution means something that you're able to see clearly and with detail. So if it's high resolution, it means they'll be able to, like a microscope, be able to see very small things very clearly and in detail.
All right. Next paragraph, we hear from Carl Dieseroth, the Stanford bioengineer who led the team that developed Clarity. And what do we mean, bioengineer, Ellen?
A bioengineer is a person who uses engineering techniques but uses them in the study of biology or medicine.
Okay. And what were he and his colleagues eager to do?
They were eager to test drive this new invention. Mm. When we say test drive, it's kind of to say try out. Okay. When you purchase a new car or maybe a new scooter, you like to test drive them first to make sure nothing's wrong.
Okay.
Well,
you know, a lot of times researchers will come up with ideas and it might be theoretical. Then they actually have to test them in real life. And you can imagine they probably came up with several different compounds of chemicals to try and figure out, okay, how do we make the brain transparent? We learned at the beginning of today's reading that they actually used a combination of acrylamide, bisacrylamide, and formaldehyde. That, I guarantee you, that was not the first thing they came up with. That might have been the 100th combination that they came up with. You've got to try all sorts of different combinations to find out, okay, which one of these works best. And so then after they found that out, they want to take it, their invention, Clarity, for a test drive, see if it works. So how did they do that?
Well, they tried it out on a human brain that belonged to someone who had autism. And we learned yesterday what autism was, and you can see that in your specialized terms. And this person's brain had been preserved or stewing in the jars, as we mentioned yesterday, for 6 years.
Okay, so apparently this person had passed away
right.
6 years prior to that, and maybe the family, most likely the family had agreed to donate the brain to research. I mentioned a little bit earlier today about the football players in America. That's actually what's been happening in America. The league has been asking the families, for the most part, afterwards, are you willing to donate the brain of this former player? You know, it might be their husband or father or something like that. And the families are interested. It's interesting, the family participation in this. And whether it's autism patients or football players, it's amazing the willingness of families. They're willing to step up. They say, yeah, sure. And it's just such an odd concept. I'm thinking, wow, this is their family member.
Right.
And they're like, these people are willing to say, yeah, sure, we'll donate the brain. And a lot of people might be really uncomfortable with that in some parts of the world. And but you know, these people, they've suffered so much tragedy and difficulty that they're willing to say, hey, look, if we can sacrifice in this case, the person has already passed on. Maybe we can help people in the future by having this research make progress. Okay, so we just learned about this brain that had been preserved for 6 years. The team took their invention for a test drive. What did they find?
Well, they found something that actually surprised them, which was a deeply buried neuron that looped back on itself. When we say deeply buried, it just means it was very embedded in the brain. And when we say loop back on itself, it meant it was kind of it circuited back to itself.
Right, kind of turned back on to itself. And this was just an unusual structure, according to what Dr. Desiroth said, right?
That's right. He said the strange bridging is not typical of a normal brain. So when they have examined a normal brain in the past, they have not found this kind of looping back on itself within neurons in the brain. But in this case, with someone that had autism, they did find that.
Okay. And it resembles?
It resembles abnormalities that we usually associate with autism and Down syndrome.
Abnormalities.
Abnormalities are just things that are not normally found.
Okay. And so it's something that, you know, you would look inside a brain and you would see a normal brain function, somebody who seems, you know, mentally capable, fine, and they're going to have a certain structure. But then even if there's a slight abnormality, just a tiny abnormality, it actually can then cause Down syndrome or autism. So that's what they were able to find through using Clarity. And again, it will just be, it's the first step in helping them understand, okay, here's the problem. This is the part that's broken. Now, how do we fix this or how do we deal with this? Whether it's, whether it can be surgically repaired or if we can develop new medications to deal with this, that's what this will all lead to. Okay. Before we finish our article today, Winnie's going to tell you how to contact us on our webpage.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening to Advanced. If you have any questions about today's program or any previous program, just go to our website, www.studioclassroom.com. And you have a couple of options available. First, you can join a discussion with other advanced listeners by going to the eCorner. It's a great way to meet some other members of our audience, leave comments, and give us your ideas for the show. If you want to write a note to the advanced team or have a question, just go to letters@studioclassroom.com and we'll do our best to help out. We always look forward to hearing from you, our listeners and readers, and we appreciate your input.
Okay, before we sign off, let me get one final thought from our panelists.
All right. Well, I think this research is very important, and I'm looking forward to what it will do in the future with regard to things like autism and schizophrenia. I do really believe that we will see in the future maybe even breakthroughs with regard to those things and how people will deal with them. And I think less things test drived and more breakthroughs.
I'm also very excited about this new breakthrough, as I think clarity is kind of just a first step to new discoveries, not only for the brain, but hopefully for other parts of the body that we have had difficulty examining or looking at. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, there is a sidebar, a small one there at the bottom of page 22 in the bottom left corner, Research in Action. And what that says is the team experimented first with mouse brains, then tested their method on a portion of a brain from a human cadaver. The result was a research tool that stands to be much more versatile than the traditional methods used to study brain tissue. And then we also got a picture up there on page 22, and it shows different parts of the brain. It's actually like a scan can show different coloring codes, coloring shades make that, of the brain tissue. Listeners, thanks for joining us for this article. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Ellen.
And Amanda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.